Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Piece of reporting by Mary Kay Cabot. We planned a great show. Yeah. A lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of real takes, some scintillating radio.
One of the Dans?
One of the Dans. The Dan, I would say, because he's on the show and the other Dan is not today. And then about 1:30, the news came down that made you and I very, very happy.
We chest bumped. And we don't even have him yet.
And that's just a report about it. Mary Kay Cabot tweeting out about 30 minutes ago, the Browns will consider acquiring 49ers Jimmy Garoppolo if Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension increases. So I say again, toot, toot.
All aboard.
I would like to point out, in Cleveland or in Carolina, I'm the reason Baker Mayfield's there. As the only guy on air that wanted it, I manifested that bleep. I cannot take credit for that here. But I absolutely am riding sidecar as you have manifested, potentially, Jimmy G to Cleveland.
It's going to happen. It's
Here's
all
your victory lap.
Well, there's no victory lap. Yeah, we don't have him. But I will say this. I'm convinced that my take yesterday is 100% spot on. And my take was, why on earth would the Cleveland Browns, on a Wednesday, before their first preseason game, when nobody in the NFL ever announces who's going to be playing, they announce Deshaun Watson's going to be playing. Now, why is that?
Why, Wendy?
Because the NFL has not given them an answer. Mm. They do not want Deshaun Watson to play a game, period.
They being the NFL.
Yes. And what this does is it puts pressure on the NFL to hand out some sort of an answer before tomorrow. And what that also does is it allows the Browns to, if they decide they want to go after Jimmy Garoppolo, it gives you more time.
Yes. And
as soon as they have this answer, I think they make the phone call.
Something we, you and I said off air, I don't think any longer should we look at this like the NFL is intent on making an example out of Deshaun Watson. They do. They don't just want to make an example out of Deshaun Watson. They want to make an example out of the Cleveland Browns. Now, there's not punitively a lot of things the NFL can do to the Browns because Deshaun was an active player. There was nothing in saying you couldn't either trade for him or give him a contract extension. You know what you could do? You could delay the appeal and the decision on the appeal as long as humanly possible, which makes the Browns juggle things as long as humanly possible. So I commend the Cleveland Browns. We said it earlier today. I said it in the post show.
If it was the Cleveland Browns behind the scenes thinking of trying to be a couple steps ahead of the NFL. I think it's brilliant. I love it. Applaud them for it. I think it's a great move. They could have just waited until Friday and just suited him up and played him. But no, they put this out there, and we'll find out.
Now it's time for Roger Goodell. Roger
Goodell.
Roger Goodell, as he's known, because he throws a brick and ball. Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell.
Well, now it's time to see how much Roger Goodell really doesn't want to see Deshaun Watson.
Because otherwise, if they don't make this suspension, and as Mary Kay said in that update on the morning show with the guys, a banishment of a full year means he has to leave the team immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be a part of preseason games or practice.
Have to old school Amish shun him.
Basically.
Yep.
And the last thing the NFL wants, if they don't want him on the field, is for Friday night on NFL Network and all of ESPN and every, you know, post-game show and every sports center, they're going to be showing highlights of Deshaun Watson throwing a touchdown or doing something.
We have a lot of sound to play that backs up some of the stuff you and I have already started to talk about on today's show. But can we just take this moment to just fully embrace the Jimmy G Express and just exhale? Because, I agree with you that, all right, we can have the we can run the train down the streets of Cleveland, Ohio when they actually trade for him. But it's been a bleak couple weeks here, guys. Like, every time we've had the conversation, man, this is a great team, but Jacoby. That's a great team, but Deshaun suspension. I think we're all pretty damn sure, Dustin, that whether it's 10 games, 12 games, 17 games, Deshaun Watson is about to get ethered by the NFL. So this at least gives you hope that the Browns are at least willing to explore an avenue that if all hell breaks loose, they're not going to sit back and let this season go to waste. And I'm sorry to say that about Jacoby Brissett, but more than 6 or 8 games, if you're starting Jacoby Brissett for 17 games intentionally to start the season, yes, that is effectively punting on this season, because the best case scenario is he gets you somewhere in the 500 range, which probably isn't going to be enough in the AFC this year. So if nothing else, this feels like we can breathe for a little bit here and see, all right, maybe the Deshaun Watson news, whenever it comes down, isn't going to be the death knell for this year that we all thought it was going to be. And oh, by the way.
Listen, to me, if they can somehow manufacture this move to get Garoppolo, it absolutely salvages the season. I think there are realistic hopes of the playoffs because this team's so good. It's not as much about Jimmy as it is about the team and about having somebody there that can. He's done it before. Like, he's done this twice where he's gone to the playoffs. The guy's, I believe, 4-2 in the postseason. Like, mm-hmm. He's got a really good postseason record. He's been to a Super Bowl. Like, the guy's going to come in here and not be fazed by the adversity at all.
And here's the point that we're making. He's not as good as Deshaun Watson. He's not as good as Aaron Rodgers. But he is better than all but maybe 14 other quarterbacks in the NFL. That means something. He is better than Jacoby. And by the way, people said, we had somebody last week when we were trying to get everybody on board, the Jimmy G Express, we had people say, well, how do you know? Well, an overwhelming amount of statistics that say he's better. The QB record, which doesn't hold a lot of weight, but it absolutely applies in this case. And he's been a consistent starter in the NFL for the last 5 years. That's how I know Jimmy G is better than Jacoby. So I think we should, this is only right, as you are the lead conductor of the Jimmy G Express.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And I am the co-conductor. Last call.
I mean, you want to get on board. You better jump on.
Yeah. If you were holding out for anything else, or if you're holding out for the official deal, there will not be seats available on the Jimmy G Express in a week's time if they trade for Jimmy G. Today is your last day. You can get your toots by calling 216-578-0092. And indoctrinate. We will induct you. I think we've already indoctrinated them. We will induct you to the Jimmy G Express. But I think the other thing that we have not said is, you're welcome to the Cleveland Browns. When did the toot-toot start, Dustin? When did the toot-toot movement start?
I mean, I think it started about a week ago.
I believe it was a Friday.
A Friday in Berea.
Now, That's interesting. The Browns have a training facility in Berea. And where were you and I when we started the Toot Toot movement?
Well, I believe we were right below Andrew Berry's office.
I believe we were. As a matter of fact, I believe our voices echoed through the halls.
At least yours did.
It definitely did. The Toot Toot was loud in Berea.
Loud and proud.
It sounded like the entire building had a bowl of chili before we got out there. That's how loud we're talking about toots in Berea one Friday ago.
Your spicy chili and your nasty bowl.
clean bowl. Clean bowl, sir. Leave the pork butt out of this.
Pork butt's pretty good.
Yeah. While some butts do lead to toots, pork butt, leave the pork butt out of
butt.
This. That you ate that butt. Oh, you love
I
that
ate it
butt.
Good. It was It was really good. That sauce was amazing.
The first time you had my pork butt and you took that butt, the look in your eyes.
It was delicious.
Pure joy.
It was delicious. I made Keith even eat some of that butt.
Yeah. And he was timid. He was timid.
He was like,
I'm
not a pork butt guy. And then all of a sudden he loves butt.
Yeah. Now, doesn't stop talking about it.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard to.
Yeah, it's the only thing he talks about, his butt and his love of butt.
Yeah.
And toots, including the Jimmy G Express. I'm just happy, Dusty, at the idea.
It gives me hope that the Browns are not just going to punt on the season. And they're realistic about what they've seen in practice from Jacoby Brissett in that he's a fine, serviceable backup. And I think they're also scared to death that if something happens to Jacoby, what do you do then?
Yep. Well, and I think there's a few tentacles we can get into this. If you got him by, let's say, Monday, you still might be able to pull off week one. I don't know because I'm not in the building and I don't know how quickly Jimmy G picks up systems. If you got him in the next week, there still might be a decent chance that we never have to see Jacoby Brissett take a first-team snap, or at least the first snap of the season against Carolina that second week of September. So the timing is really, really, truly crucial on this one, though. And I think that's something I think we have to really get to, is the idea of the importance of this. It is one thing to say that, you know, the Browns will be interested if, I think we all know the if is going to be reality, but if Deshaun's suspension is increased, but then I gotta see them act quickly. That is the other side of this. Like, all right, if Peter C. Harvey tomorrow at 1 p.m. says he's suspended for a whole year or he's suspended for 12 games, I want to see the Cleveland Browns be prepared. Making a phone call about it's cool, all right? You're at least got one toe on the Jimmy G Express. I'm going to need to see at least a leg, most of your calf, half an ass cheek. I'm going to need to see at least that much the second a Deshaun Watson suspension were to come down.
I can't wait.
I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for it. I think we may hear something today or early tomorrow morning, I bet, because if they want to do the full year banishment, then he is not going to be on the field tomorrow night.
Joe Mer saying, and Twitter reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Joe Mer saying, I'm having flashbacks to the Tannehill Express, complete with toot toots. Different show, different guys, never happened. This is the only express that has ever mattered, including the A train about 12 years ago or 10 years ago, whenever it was. This is the most important express we've had. Our next guest is going to keep it light. Going to have a lot of fun with him. And we're going to talk some of the minutiae of the Deshaun Watson situation. He is gaming law and sports betting attorney. He's the legal analyst for The Athletic. And he joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The great Daniel Wallach back on the show. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back. The calm before the storm. Any day now, right?
Any day now.
I'm thinking it's going to be before tomorrow.
Yeah, that does
before he takes the field.
So
you bet it will.
So, okay. That's interesting.
Let's start right there, Dan.
I think the Browns' decision to start Deshaun Watson is putting the arbitrator on the clock a little bit, because if the NFL wants him to be suspended for the preseason, inclusive of the preseason, I think we're really pointing to a decision very soon, but you know, by Friday night. I think even without the Browns' action, we were looking at a relatively quick decision, because this is an expedited appeal. The NFL's brief was due within 3 business days. Watson's brief was filed 2 days later. There's really not that much, you know, for the arbitrator to do here except to decide what the appropriate suspension should be. He's not engaging in a new round of fact-finding. So this is really going to be a week to 2 weeks to kind of, you know, pin down this decision. And I think he has to be recognizing that there's going to be a federal court lawsuit potentially. So if it takes additional time, it's because he wants to really make this as airtight as possible so that it survives, you know, federal court scrutiny.
So it's interesting you said the idea there that Peter C. Harvey could be taking long, because we weren't sure when the announcement from the NFL came out that they were going to appeal Sue Robinson's decision. We weren't sure how long it was going to take. So I think we should just ask you, do you expect to have something before the end of this week?
You know, personally, I don't think Deshaun Watson starting a preseason game is sort of this, you know, major, you know, event that the NFL has to, you know, rush a decision out by, because it's more important for the arbitrator to get his decision as correct as possible. And, you know, the Browns starting Watson shouldn't accelerate things, because if he plays a preseason game or not, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. We're talking about a regular season ban in all likelihood, along with a monetary fine. So while I think it will come out by the end of the day tomorrow, it could go another week, but I wouldn't expect it to go beyond next week, because this is an expedited appeal. Everything is happening in a very short amount of time. The briefs that were filed by the parties can't even be longer than 5 pages. There's not a lot for Peter C. Harvey to do here except determine, based upon the existing evidentiary record, what the appropriate amount of punishment should be. That's a much narrower responsibility and scope than what Sue Robinson had, which was to make factual findings. And she took a couple of weeks. I would expect this to be no later than the end of next week, possibly today, possibly tomorrow.
When you look at this whole thing, Dan, and you think about the fact that this Peter C. Harvey is appointed by Roger Goodell, do you anticipate it being the full season? Do you think that there is any way it could be 10, 12 games, or you think it definitely will be a full season?
Well, I think it could be 10 to 12 games, because if I know the commissioner made some statements yesterday about this, you know, predatory behavior, the league wants it to be 1 year or more. That can come back to haunt the NFL in federal court, because Roger Goodell has designated Peter C. Harvey to be the arbitrator here. So there's a close nexus between Goodell and Harvey, and these statements made by Goodell while the decision is still in abeyance could be viewed negatively by a federal court. And if Harvey imposes a full year suspension, that's really going to be in you know, I guess, disregard of Judge Robinson's reasoning that a full year suspension would violate the fair notice requirement, because the players under this existing law of the shop have to have advance notice, not only of the conduct that would subject them to discipline, but of the severity of the consequences if they committed the conduct. And she ruled that a 1 year suspension would essentially treat nonviolent conduct the same as violent conduct. And if he goes the full year or beyond, I think it could potentially unravel for the NFL and federal court based upon this principle of fair notice. You know, are there labor arbitration decisions are upheld at a very high rate, over 90% historically, at least in the Southern District of New York. So if he goes 1 year, he's guaranteeing a federal court lawsuit. If he goes only 8 games, 10 games, or 12 games, maybe Watson doesn't sue, because I think arguably you could take a 12-game suspension and justify that as treating because the arbitral precedent in this case that the league has historically used for nonviolent offenses has never been more than a 3-game suspension. So with a 3-game baseline, 4 incidents, you could make a case that 12 games for 4 incidents is in line with prior arbitral precedent. I don't like that mathematical formula, because if you had 25 complainants and their cases were proved, then Watson would be suspended for 5 years. that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. But I think when you have fewer accusers and multiple incidents where the cases are proved, 12 games, I think, would be the dividing line between suing or not suing. And Watson may take a 12-game suspension without marching into federal court. But if it goes over that line for a full season, then I think they lead with Judge Robinson's fair notice argument and then also challenge the partiality of the arbitrator, because not only is he an NFL appointee who has a long-term business relationship with the NFL, but he's an advocate for victims of sexual violence and sexual assault. He's the chairperson or vice chairperson of an organization called Futures Without Violence. So this Peter Harvey is not only an NFL outside counsel, but he's an advocate and champion for victims of domestic violence and sexual violence. And that's definitely to his credit as a human being, but it calls into question his objectivity to serve as the sort of the appellate judge sitting in judgment on Deshaun Watson on a case involving sexual assault. I think it might be a bridge too far. And when you look at his credentials, his experience, his relationships, coupled with Roger Goodell's ill-advised statement while this case was pending, it could create a viable bias argument in federal court. And the concept is called evident partiality. So I think the Players Association would raise the bias of the arbitrator as well as the noncompliance with the law of the shop, which requires fair notice to the players of the severity of the consequences.
Daniel Wallach, legal analyst for The Athletic, with Nick and Dustin breaking down the latest on the Deshaun Watson situation as we await the Peter C. Harvey ruling of the appeal from the NFL of Sue Robinson's initial six-game suspension. You talked a little bit with us last time, and I know you tweeted about this, and you guys have talked about this on the Conduct Detrimental podcast, about the importance of the race to the courthouse for the NFL and NFL Players Association. Can you explain why that's important to the NFLPA side of things?
Because whenever the Players Association chooses the forum, whether it be Eastern District of Texas for Ezekiel Elliott, District of Minnesota for Adrian Peterson, they've invariably won and have overturned the labor arbitration awards. So the venue has a lot to do with, I guess, if it's not a home field advantage, it's at least leveling the playing field, because in New York, where the NFL prefers to litigate, the standards are very strict, and the league has enjoyed success defending its arbitration decisions in a New York federal court system, whereas the Players Association has won, you know, consistently when it's been able to choose its litigation forum to challenge arbitration awards. Listen, it's no guarantee. It's an uphill battle for the Players Association, no matter where this is litigated, because I could tell you that if the rate of confirmation is over 90% in New York, it's pretty close to that in most other federal district courts. But the wild card here is Judge Sue Robinson, whose prior career involved serving in the Delaware federal judiciary for a quarter of a century. She was the chief judge in the Delaware federal court system for roughly a decade. And all the judges on that bench, there were only five judges on the Delaware federal bench. Three of them served with her. Two of them, the remaining two, practiced in front of her consistently. So I think her decision-making and her analysis will be accorded greater respect in a Delaware federal court than it would necessarily in any other federal court system in the country, because she's held in very high regard. And I think there's a sufficient nexus between this controversy and the Delaware court system, because the disciplinary hearing was conducted in Sue Robinson's law office in Wilmington, Delaware. So this is one of those rare situations where the Players Association can march into federal court and hold up the ruling of one of the former members of that court as, you know, as sort of the linchpin to their legal argument as to why the suspension or the additional suspension should be overturned. The union has never been in this situation before where they can rely on another federal court, you know, just judge's ruling, and go into her former court and try to argue that the court should respect her analysis more than the analysis of an arbitrator who was handpicked by the NFL and has all these built-in internal biases by virtue of his relationship with the league and his advocacy on behalf of the victims of sexual assault. So in terms of credibility, I think a former Delaware federal district court judge comes into a Delaware court process having a certain level of prestige and respect, and it would benefit the union to litigate this case in a forum that would hold Sue Robinson's viewpoints and legal analysis in the highest possible regard. She was on that bench for a quarter of a century. She's like a judicial legend in the District of Delaware. So I think that's where the Players Association wants to litigate the case. The league is going to, you know, try to push this into New York. And what I've referred to as the race to the courthouse, what inevitably happens is that the NFL-appointed arbitrator gives the news to the NFL first, and then the NFL runs into federal court before the Players Association knows what even hit them. And under the federal court first-to-file rule, the lawsuit that's filed first has priority, which is why the race is so important and why the Players Association needs to be given equal access on the timing of the release of the agreement. But I think they have a very good argument that even if the New York lawsuit is filed first, this case belongs in Delaware, because under the collective bargaining agreement, arbitration decisions rendered under Article 46 are immediately binding and enforceable against the player. There's no need to run to federal court to seek a confirmation of the court ruling. All the NFL would really be accomplishing here is trying to divest or preclude the Players Association from getting their chosen forum, which would be Delaware. And the Players Association could argue to the New York federal court, you should dismiss, transfer, stay the lawsuit because it's an unnecessary court filing which was filed in bad faith by the NFL, that the true plaintiff in this case is going to be the Players Association because they're seeking to alter the status quo and change the result. And they're the true plaintiff, and therefore the case belongs in Delaware rather than New York, because the league would have pursued a completely unnecessary remedy given the fact that the CBA already declares that any arbitration award is immediately binding against the player.
Comprehensive as always, Daniel. You are the man. We appreciate you joining us, buddy. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Daniel Wallach there on the hotline, legal analyst for The Athletic. The thing that I think was really most interesting, which was 12 games could be the dividing line between an injunction and a lawsuit against the NFL, and not because of how each of the issues Deshaun had, each of the violations of the CBA would be viewed. I thought that was pretty interesting, considering I feel like we're all kind of feeling destined that a 17-game suspension is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the league is in a little bit of a tough spot, right? Because they could give Watson the 12 games. He probably accepts it, right? He just takes the suspension. There's no injunction. There's no federal lawsuit and all that stuff. He just comes back for, you know, the final part of the year. But I don't know the league wants that.
Yeah.
Based off of everything we've heard.
So every time I heard, because Daniel, if you guys haven't heard either of the Dans or both the Dans together, and I mean, just incredibly informative. And there was actually another really interesting thing I want to bring up before we get back to the Jimmy G Express and hyping that B up. But
do we have the Schefter clip?
Too? We do. We're going to play that on today's show. But I thought everything he said could very well be true. But then you have to factor, like, the idea of the NFL doesn't want to end up in court. I think that might be true. We also have to understand the NFL has an immense ego. And Roger Goodell specifically has an immense ego. So what I heard from Daniel Wallach was rational, thought out. This is how it could go. This is how it should go. This is what I would think. I just think we've seen time and time again. And it starts with the Ray Rice thing. It then goes to the how they handled the Kaepernick thing both times. Literally every time we've had some sort of player issue come out. You know what I've learned?
What's that?
Don't ever underestimate the ego of Roger Goodell in the NFL. And so everything Daniel Wallach, to a normal person, sounds completely logistical and common sense. But I bet you the NFL doesn't shed 1 ounce of sweat or concern or caution at the idea of the dividing line being 12 games. Because I think they legitimately think they're going to win whatever they're doing. And I think that is ultimately what has been the NFL's downfall in situations like this, is that they overplay their hand and then look stupid afterwards. That might be the other thing that's taking the Peter C. Harvey ruling so long. As Daniel Wallach said, they're trying to make this airtight as possible from a lawsuit standpoint, a counter lawsuit. I just would say, in terms of how this can play out, My hope at this point is just Deshaun Watson, the NFLPA, and the NFL just get together. They have a settlement, so we don't have to have this ongoing rigmarole continue. However, I don't think I trust the NFL and their ego. And you know what? I don't know at this moment I trust Deshaun's ego. Because Deshaun, to this day, in credit to what Sue Robinson said in her ruling, Deshaun to this day has been defiant that he did anything wrong.
He doesn't think he did anything wrong.
So if you still claim that you've done nothing wrong, if you were pissed about a 6-game suspension, I don't know why a 12-game suspension would be all that more palatable if you're Deshaun.
Right.
Given that, quite frankly, you still concede, or still contend, rather, that you're innocent.
Dude doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So what if it's 12 games? Think he could fight it?
I think everything's hypothetical, and I don't think I can say no to anything. Right? Like what Daniel Wallach said, 12 games could be the dividing line between a lawsuit in federal court or no lawsuit. That hypothetically, that could be very well true. I think the problem is that's before we involve the ego of either side or machinations of either side involved here. And Zach on Twitter sent in a pretty good question that I think we got to get to. He said he was confused about the race to the courthouse. And he said, what is the NFL filing suit for? If they get the decision they want, what is there to file for? The reason why they would file a lawsuit first is in anticipation of a lawsuit. And the reason why they would file a lawsuit first is to get out ahead of things, to try and get it in the New York Southern District courts versus where Sue Robinson laid judgment. I thought that was interesting. I hadn't heard that. When they had said the preferential filing status, where whoever files first gets to choose where the lawsuit is heard, I had not heard anyone say the reason why Delaware made sense was because that's where Sue Robinson did her work and where she is reviled amongst attorneys and judges. I thought that was pretty mind-blowing as well. There was one other thing, Dusty, before we get back to the Jimmy G Express and some of your guys' response on this, including the Daniel Wallach interview, where he said another thing that could happen in this is they could challenge the partiality of Peter C. Harvey. And they're, on one hand, it's because
But everyone knows he's not partial.
Well, but in the court of law, that impartiality or partiality, absolutely does matter.
So then why didn't Goodell just handle it himself? Then there would be no impartiality because he is the league.
Because in a court of law, everybody doesn't apply. In a court of law, theoretically, again, I feel like I'm starting to get like Matlock over here. I feel like now I'm definitely not a lawyer yet.
You're working on it.
I could be what's the lawyer's assistant called? You know, the person who helps them with their work or whatever. I'm them. I could be one of them. It's a very fancy legal term that I can't pull out of my ass right now to save the show. But it's not like an assistant. It's not like a lawyer's assistant.
Paralegal?
Yes. I am paralegal level right now. Now, why would they do that? You got the Windhorst in my head.
Why would they do that?
But I do think the idea of, I think Peter C. Harvey was to appear impartial. But I think once you get into a court of law, I think that can unravel really quickly. And not just because Peter C. Harvey has all this business with the NFL. I didn't know about the other half of this, which is that he's also a huge advocate and actually involved in a foundation that helps victims of domestic and sexual violence. While that is a great thing to have and a great thing to be a champion of, in a court of law, if you are in bed with the NFL and you clearly have strong feelings on this, I do think that could cause real problems for the NFL. Nick Wilson, paralegal.
For hire?
I'm going to sign it all. I'm going to DocuSign this B. Nick Wilson, paralegal.
I'm Nick Wilson.
And nobody likes me. Jim, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. You know what? Based on what you guys were talking about earlier, and I hate to be a conspiracy guy, but I'm starting to feel more and more like this.
They're making it. The NFL's making us, Jim. It's not you or me. It's the NFL.
No, I'm not blaming you, but my take is if the NFL really wants to stick it to the Browns, they'll stick it to the Browns by making it 12 games. Shoot, they might stick it to the Browns by making it 16 games. That way the Browns don't get the cap relief and roll everything over to next year. They have to trade, puts them in cap hell, and screws them for the long term. If they really want to stick it to the Browns, that's what they'll do.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I've come around to the idea that the NFL doesn't just want to make a case out of Deshaun Watson. I've said this already. I'll say it again. I think we've gotten to the point where the NFL wants to make a case out of the Cleveland Browns. And when I say NFL, I'm not even talking about Roger Goodell in that case. The NFL owners are still a wee bit salty about the contract.
Yep.
And it's
just a wee bit.
Which is funny because I don't see anybody making a case out of Arthur Blank in Atlanta. I don't see anybody making a case out of Dave Tepper in Carolina. And you can say, well, they weren't willing to pay $250 million. How the hell do NFL owners get off on a technicality on this? Like, if you're willing to pay $200 or $200 million guaranteed versus $250, are you really that much better of a person? Are you really that much better of a co-constituent in the NFL? Because, oh, well, I was only going to pay, two times a lifetime amount of money that anybody else listening here is going to ever see in our lives.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.